Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to deal with issues that were raised in the beginning of the Perek and throughout. One issue is how to reconcile between our Mishnah and the Braita. Our Mishnah says that one is not permitted to leave their behema alone when it comes to a Pumda Kot Shel Uvdei Kochavim, because we have a problem with chashash of Via. Yet there's also a Braita that says that we can buy behemot for them to use for Karbonot. So we've seen different suggestions so far about what the possible answers are, possible solutions to the problem. One possible solution was that he's chasal memono. When it comes to his own behema, then there's no question that he won't do anything bad to it. On the other hand, when it's your behema, we are suspicious. That was one answer. Then we had the answer of Rabbi Ina, who suggested the difference between the chatchila and bidiyevet. And then the Gemara there seems to have rejected Ravina's position, although Tosos brings the one daya in the beginning that that maybe they still Ravina still exists in the end, but mostly pushed away. Then we have Rabbi Padat, which was the other suggestion, which is Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbonon. That the difference between the Braita and the Mishnah has to do with the positions of Rabbi Eliezer, who is Choshesh, and the Rabbanon, who are not Choshesh for Revi'iyah, and that will explain their difference. But along the way, we also bumped into the fact that Rabbi Eliezer is Posel B'chol HaKarbonot Kulam, that he's Posel in all Karbonot for purchase from them, and we brought down this Tani Debei Shila. The Tani Debei Shila, which says, what's the reason behind, or what's the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer, is because it says, V'ichu Elecha, right, that you have to take it, that all the kichot, or the kicha, the sourcing of the Karbon has to be from a Jew, and not from a Oved Kochavim. So the last thing we spoke about is that really true? Because we brought the story of Dama ben Netino. The story of Dama ben Netino, the Chachamim are sourcing both a Abanim for the Choshen and a Parah Duma from Dama ben Netino. So now that's the reasoning that we saw the Gemara give an answer in the end, is that they use it out of Tei Tagre Yisrael, that they use a seer, they use a broker, to broker the deal, but not really broker because he has to actually own it for a while. But that it went into possession of Jews, and after it went into the possessions of Jews, then it moved on to what the Chachamim needed or to be used in the Mikdash. And that's how we get around this problem of the Tani Debei Reb Shilo, that the reasoning over here is Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'Chu, and that Chu means it has to be sourced from B'nei Yisrael. Now the Gemara says, well, based on what we had said, or we explained the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, it sounds like that Rabbi Eliezer's issue, according to Tani Beis Rav Shila, is not a problem of Revi'a, not a problem that we're choshesh, that there will be bestiality performed here, but rather we're worried about how it's sourced, or where it's sourced from. And that's the main issue here. So that's what the Gemara asks, on the top of Chavdam Ra'alas, Rabbi Eliezer, lo chayesh le Revi'a. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't worry about Revi'a. You're saying that his only issue is that we're sourcing it out of a non-Jew instead of a Jew. Batanya, Amru lo Rabbi Eliezer, ma'asev lechua min ha'oved kochavim, v'dom ha'shemol. There's a case where they purchased it from an Oved Kochavim, and his name was Dama, which is the case that we had before, Dama ben Netina. Ramila Remetz Shemo, his name was Remetz. So Amr Lahen Rabbi Eliezer, Misham Raya, from there it's a proof, Israel hayu mishamrim ota mishashinolda. Jews were watching it from the time that it was born. It was given over to the Meshgiach. Right? They had a Meshgiach there from the time it was born. So now, here you see that it's clear issue is a problem of Revi'a. Why do you need Mashkichim over the Parah Aduma in order to ensure that nothing happened to it? The only reason you need that is because you're a Choshesh LeRevi'a. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer is Choshesh LeRevi'a, and he says that they were Jewish Mashkichim watching the animal from the moment it was born. So Mar says, Rabbi Eliezer Tarta Itle. Rabbi Eliezer has two issues. One is, the first one is, he's Choshesh for Kicha. He's worried about Itle Kicha, that he has the issue of purchasing it. It has to be sourced from a Jew. V'chayish nami the Revi'a. And then he has a secondary issue, which is that we worry about this issue of bestiality, worry about the fact that someone slept with the behema. It would also make it possible for a korban. So he has both issues. Both of those issues would create a problem for bringing this animal as a korban or having the parah aduma. So Amar Mar. So now the Gemara goes back and wants to understand this. Yisrael ayu mishamrimo tam yishashinol da. Wait, Israeli, we had Mashkichim watching it from the time it was born? So Mar says, wait, you're worried about bestiality being formed when the baby's already born, when this Para Aduma is growing up, what about when his mother is pregnant with him? Why? Because we have this principle, we've seen this in other places. Damarav, Ram Rava, Vladan Ugachat Asura. He, Vivladan Akhu. When it comes to goring, an animal that is gored, for instance, then has killed, an animal that is gored and killed, it only has one aid, so therefore it can't be put to death, but nevertheless it's possible for a karban, when a female animal is pregnant with a vlad, we say, or Rava says, that there's joint liability or joint culpability here. When the animal went ahead and gored, it wasn't just it that gored, its vlad was a part of that goring process. Because an uber is yerachimo, it's an extension of the mother. And that means not only did the mother gore here, but the baby, the vlad, the fetus inside was also a part of that process. And therefore they are both psulim. Ben vlad, hanirbat, asura. And the same thing with the offspring, a young animal that is born after bestiality was performed to his mother while she was pregnant with him. Both of them are asura, hiva vlada nirba'u. Because bestiality was performed not on only on the mother, but on the fetus itself. The fetus is an extension of the mother, and it's one entity, and that entity had bestiality performed with it. So why are you only guarding it from the time it's born? You need to be guarding it already from the time that its mother is pregnant with it. So Ema, so the Gemara amends it, Yisrael ayu mishamim oto mishashino tzira. That they were watching, their shvichim were there from the moment it was conceived. From the moment this part of Adum was conceived, they were watching the mother. They were overwatching it. Oh, so how do they know? So
we have to... Oh, he's in his parada. As soon as it was born, parada, my mother, I think you did care of it. It's like, well, it could be 2 years ago.
Right. All right. So Gemara is going to ask you a question. How do they know that I mean, you've heard they're watching for the Parah Dumas. The Gemara is going to ask you a question in a second. Penechos Dilma Ravua the Imam Ikara. Let's think, babe, maybe they had performed BCI with the mother before she ever became pregnant. Why is that a problem? The Tanan Kol Psulim the Gabe Mizbeach Vladotehem Mutarim. When it comes to any psul of the Mizbeach, anything that is psul to go on the Mizbeach, that is only true of the animal itself. It's not true of its offspring. That means that an offspring born to an animal that was nirbat, an offspring that was born to an animal that was nevat, that was muksa, all of those children, those vladot, are okay to go on the mizbeach. Ve'tani Allah, Rabbi Eliezer Oser. Rabbi Eliezer says Asur. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer says that if the mother was nirbat, that the vlad is no good. So now if that's the case, not only do you have to watch the Parah Aduma itself, you have to watch the Parah Aduma inside of its mother when it was from the moment of conception. Not only that, you need to watch its mother as well. Because if its mother was nirbat, then its offspring are problematic, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Where it says, Anicho the Rabba, the Amar, Rabba, Amar, Rabba, Nachman. That works well, according to Rabba. That he says, Machloket, Kishin, Nirbu, Kishain, Mukdashin. That the Machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is only if this happened once she was Mukdash, once the animal was Mukdash. Of Shem Chulin, Divri Akol Mutarim. If they're Chulin, then everybody says it's Mutar. So the problem here, what is Rabbi Lezer's issue? What's the problem? It's not that the animal itself had bestiality performed there. Why would you ever restrict such an animal? So our Gemara doesn't tell us this, but in the main sugya where this is discussed in Tamura, there Rabbi Lezer explains it's because it's bista. It's inappropriate. It's disgusting. Here you have a mother that was near Bat, and then you're going to bring the child as a korban. So that's inappropriate. So that's what Rabbi Omer Nachman says, that machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Chami only applies when they're mukdash. When the mother is hektish, then it makes sense to say bebizdo, that it's inappropriate, something bad, you know, happened, something inappropriate happened to this mother, therefore we won't take it as its offspring. But they're chulin, divya kol mutarim, so there's no problem here. By the para duma, the mother was chulin all the way along. She conceived the animal, then we start to watch, then we worry about the fetus, and then we watch the para duma afterwards. But the mother herself was never kodesh. It was never kodesh. Then even Rabbi Lezer agrees you don't have to worry about it. Elo the Ravuna Bar Chinino Amar Rav Nachman, who says Machloket Bishnirbu Shein Chulin, the Chulin that Rabbi Lezer argues even by Chulin, Aval Shein Mukdashim Diri Akol Asurin, when they're Mukdash, everybody gets it. Asur Michael and Amar. Then according to this, Rabbi Lezer believes that even when the mother was Chulin, it's a problem. If Bishyari was performed by the mother, then we have a problem for the child as well. So once you have a problem for the child, you need to watch the paraduma. You need to watch it once it was conceived, but you even need to watch its mother to ensure the mother was never near Bat, because the mother was near Bat, that's posel the korban. So now, Ema, so this is it. Yisrael ayum shamrim otal imash mishenash shenotra. They were watching the mother from the time she was created, from the time that she was conceived. So now you have the mashkichim are there with the mother. and after she's impregnated, and with the paraduma if it's born. I mean, this is a long process. You think about Shmura Matzah, this is this paraduma had a much longer life of Shmira here. So now, Mara says, V'nichosh Dilma Ravuli Imadim. If you're going to go back to the mother, what about the grandmother? You have the same problem. The grandmother was nearby. So Gemara says, "Kulei ay lo chayshinon." We don't. That's just too far fetched. Right? That's just beyond the pale of reason. Beyond the right, what would be considered normal chashash. Over here, again, explaining that Rabbi Lezer's reasoning is bista. Already, that's too far removed. The fact that it was dealing with the grandmother, that's just too far removed from this baby, this paraduma, for someone to think about or to worry about the problem of bista. So therefore, we only have to watch from one generation back, not from multiple generations back. So Amar Mar, the Gemara is going to go back and say, Yisrael hayu mishamim otam mishashi notzra, that they had mashkichim watching it from the time that it was conceived. And this is your question, David. Minayo dinon. How do we know that it's conceived? I mean, what are they doing? Standing around watching to see who's conceived? How do you know this? And even if so, how do they know it's going to be a paraduma? So Amar Rav Kana, kos adom mavrim lifanea, b'shah sh'ola alei hazachar. Just like akin to Yaakov Avino, which he did by the sheep, when he's watching the sheep. Here, they used to bring a cup of red liquid in front of the mother at the time that she was mating with the zachar. She sees the red cup, and that creates a paraduma. Now, this is a general proposition in the Gemara, in the Chazal. It's not only true of animals. The Gemara sees it as true in human beings as well. That what a person looks at, right, at the time that they are mating or conceiving, has impact on the vlad itself. And what you see impacts the individual. Right, Rabbi Yochanan sitting outside of the mikveh, right, those types of things. So the Gemara says, Yochi amai damer yikarim. Why is it so expensive? All I need to do to get a paraduma is hold up this red cup in front of a mother, and we got red cows coming out. So what's so expensive about it? Where it says, oh, which tastes our ropes, poslotva. That's not the expensive part. Yeah, you can get a red cow, but to get a completely red cow, that's harder, without any. Right, without two sarot that are black or white that ruin the whole thing, that's much harder. So when it says, umayshna didhu. So then, why did the chachamim go to doma b'metina? Cows, or why are they specific about his cows? I mean, if you can take any cow, hold the cup in front of it, they can watch anything. What was so special about doma b'metina's mother or his cow over there? Right. What do they need to go to Dumb and Matina? They just go to a Jewish cow, put a red cup in front of it, and you won't have any problem. So I'm Rav Kana Mechuzeket. So this is the key element here. I think this was what you were answering before, Tzvi, which is that Ben Mechuzeket. Here we know this cow has a history of giving birth to Parot Adumot after they hold the coast in front of it. Yep. It's close enough that the possibility of having a paraduma from this animal is real. So therefore, since it has a history of giving birth to the cows that have a lot of red on them, and it works when they hold the coast in front of it, therefore, that's why they went to Dama Minatina, number one. Number two is that's how they knew to watch from the beginning. That's how they knew to watch from the time of conception, is because they're involved and they have a history. Since it has a history, therefore they go and look and say, okay, very likely that we'll get a paraduma over here. We gotta watch it. We gotta be on top of it. So now, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, Kila de Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka were sitting on the Kil'ah. It's probably the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. That's what Rashi says. He says in Laz it's called a porka. So I'm assuming that he means a porch. So they're sitting out on the porch together, Rabbi Yitzchak Navis, Vahei Chain. And they said, "Patach minayu." One of them said, "Vamar v'cheina yer Rabbi Lezer posel b'chol akorbanot kulan." Something that we saw about Rabbi Lezer's opinion before, that not only is Rabbi Lezer posel by a paraduma, he's posel by any of the korbanot that are not sourced from a Yisrael. Then patach idich minayu. The one who didn't say that statement said the other statement, "Vamar." My otivulei chavreo the Rabbi Eliezer. What was the response of the Rabbanon to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you have to source all korbanot from Israelim, that we saw yesterday, which is the pasuk from Yishayahu, which is called Tzon Kedar Yikabzu Loch, and all the flocks of Kedar will gather towards you. Yalu al ratzon mizbechi. They will be brought, right, as korbanot on my mizbeach. So you see that in the future, the cult of the Yadar are going to be brought on the on the mizbeach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, we didn't have this before, but now I'm going to hand Rabbi Eliezer. What's the response that Rabbi Eliezer had? Kulam geirim girurim heim latid lavo. So in the future, they're all going to be gerim gerurim. This is a terminology, which is an interesting terminology, which is that in general, a ger to be accepted in Klal Yisrael, we have to approve of the ger, we have to accept the ger. But we know that there's a principle that Tidav, in the time of Mashiach, we will not accept gerim. Because you're not allowed to accept gerim in times that Klal Yisrael are ascendant, because we are afraid that the motives of the gerim are not pure, and to get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or to be a part of Klal Yisrael, but rather because of their standing within the world, their ascendancy is what's driving the gerim. So therefore the Gemara says there were no gerim accepted in the time of David HaMelech, time of Shlomo HaMelech, and again, latid lavo, in time of Mashiach, gerim will not be accepted. So now Rabbi Elazar says, kulam gerim girurim. What is gerim girurim? Right, Rashi says, mi atzman nigrarim leitgaer. They are compelled on their own to come to be gerim, even though we don't accept them. So they make themselves into gerim. They follow the laws, they try to do everything, they try to be gerim, even though we will not accept them. So that's what Rabbi Elazar says. Those behemot that we're talking about, those zon kedar over there, are really coming from quasi-Yisraelim. Because these are people who are gerim that we're just not accepting. They're gerim who have gone or through the, want to go through the process or have gone through the process and are practicing, but we just won't accept them yet as gerim because that's latid lavo. We don't accept them when we're ascended. So because of that, he says there's why they can use the tzon kedar because they're not really part of ovde kochavim. They're not being sourced from an ovde kochavim. So Amar Rav Yosef, Mikra. What's the pasuk? The pasuk is from Tzvanya because it says, ki az epoch elamim. Right, I will then change the nations. Safa birura. They will speak purely or clearly. Likro kulam b'shem Hashem. For all of them to call out in the Shem Hashem. So that's what it means. As a pochelamim, the nations will change, and then they will come speak clearly or purely. Likro, what is that? Likro kulam b'shem Hashem. To all of them to call out in the Shem Hashem. So you see that at the atid lavo, they're all going to come to be gerim. So Amalei Abaye v'Dilma v'Ru Kochavim Hu Da'adur Bu. Right, so maybe what it means is not that they're going to want to be gerim. It's just that they gave up Avodah Zarah. They acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one God. They keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. But who says they're going to come to be gerim? So Amalei Rav Yosef, it says, is the other part of the continuation of the pasuk, which is reread. Ki azeh poch elamim safa bura likro kulam b'shem Hashem. The pasuk ends, Ula abdo shchem echad. To worship Him, Shchem Echad, right? One shoulder, but that means, like, with a united resolve. All of them together will be worshiping a Kodesh Baruch Hu in one shot, Ketiv. Therefore, you know, it's not just giving up Avodah Zarah, it's that they're coming to worship a Kodesh Baruch Hu in one way. They're all doing it in the same way, they're all coming to be Oved a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Alright, now, Rapapa Matni Hachi, Rapapa learned that way, which is what we just described here, the interchange between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, each one of them said something about Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, Rabbi Zvid Matni Hachi, Rabbi Zvid learned this way, which is Vid Tarvayu Amrei, not that one of them said this and one of them said that, but both of them together said, Chena Yerbe Lezer Posel B'chol HaKobanot Kulan, that he was posel by all HaKobanot, not just by Paraduma, the Tavayu Amrei, and they both said, My Uti Bulei Chavreu, the Rabbi Lezer, was the response to the Chamin to Rabbi Lezer, Kotzel Higdar Kabzulach, and then, again, Amrei Rabbi Lezer, Kulam Gerim Gurim Heim Latid Avo, Mai Kara, Ki Az Epoch Elamim B'Shem Hashem, Safa Bura, the Kro Kulam B'Shem Hashem, right, Lo Avdo Shchem Echad, Matkifla Rav Yosef, the Dilma Barak Kochovim Hu Dahadar Behu, maybe they're just giving up Avodah Zarah, not that they're gerim, Amalei Abaye, Avdo Shem Chem Echad, Ketiv, that's the end of the Pasuk, right, so therefore, we say that they're all worshipping Hashem, they all are gerim. So it's the exact same Gemara, just instead of one of them saying one Memra, and the other one saying the other Memra, here they both said both Memraot. So that's the difference in the telling of the story, doesn't seem to be there's any Nafkumina between the two stories, just a description, a different description of the source of who said it. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, when Paro refuses to let Bnei Israel go and to let their flocks go, says, not only are we going to take our stuff, we're going to take your stuff for Karbanot. So Mar says, Kodem Matan Torah Shaini. Oh, that's before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there wasn't that such a requirement. So Tashma, Vayikach Yitro Chutein Moshe Ule Uzbachim Lelukim. When Yitro shows up in the Parshat Yitro and Shmot, then he comes, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells him all that's going on, and then Yitro decides to give Karbanot. He's right, he brings a lot to Svachim Lelukim, he's donating a lot to Svachim Lelukim, which would be like you, but now, Yitro Nami, Kodem Matan Torah Havi. Yitro is before Matan Torah. So Yitro Nami, Kodem Matan Torah Havi. So Mar says, Ani Chadaman Damar, this is a huge machlokes, this is a machlokes Gemara in Svachim. Ani Chadaman Damar, Yitro Kodem Matan Torah Havi. That's only true according to one who says that Yitro, the whole story of Yitro took place before Matan Torah. Elamand Omar, Yitro, Achar Matan Torah. You know, the one who says that Yitro happened after Matan Torah, Ma'ik Elameimor. Then what can you say? Ella, Yitro, Misrael Zavon. Yitro bought it from a Jew. He did have to source it from a Jew. So there you go. That's the answer here, that a Goy who brought it has to source it from a Jew, which would say, suggest that they couldn't bring their own karbanot, and that would be like what you were suggesting. Then if a Goy brings a karban, he also must source it, and then the pasuk of Odotayim, Zechim, Nartono, Mizbechi, right, would also suggest that there has to be some gerim gerurim or something that happened that allows them to bring the korban. Now, just as an aside here, this part, the parsha of Yitro is difficult. Why is the parsha of Yitro difficult? Because there are two parshiot of Yitro. There are two parshiot of Yitro. There's a parsha of Yitro in Shmot, which is by his name, Parshat Yitro. But it's also found in Bamidbar. There's a subsequent story about Yitro, where Moshe tries to convince Yitro to stay with them. And he says, you'll be a guide for us. You'll take us, right? And you'll enjoy all the benefits of being part of Klal Yisrael. But what does Yitro do? He still says, no, I gotta go back. Goes back in the end. Now, the story in Yitro, in Parshat Shmot, also says that Yitro went back home after he finished. The last piece of the puzzle, which makes it difficult, is that when Yitro comes to Moshe and he says, what are you doing keeping Bnei Yisrael standing there all day? Why are they all lining up to be with you? He says, because they will see me, they want to know Chukei Elokim. They want to know the Chukei Elokim. They want to know what the Torah says. Now, if Parshat Yitro, which is physically found, right, before the Matan Torah, what Chukei Elokim, what they're talking about? There were no Chukei Elokim, the Torah wasn't given yet. So the machlokes about before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah deals with this issue. It's trying to reconcile between the inconsistencies in the Parshat Yitro in Shmot plus the fact that it's found in Parshat Bamidbar. The one who says that it took place after Matan Torah, it took place after Matan Torah because it says Vayhi b'macharat. Says on the day after, Moshe sat down in order to b'shmot ha'am. What does Rashi say on the spot? Vayhi b'macharat, not the day after Yitro got there, but the day after Yom Kippur. After the Bnei Yisrael were forgiven, he brought Sunet, means it was already after Matan Torah. So Vayhi b'macharat means it was after Matan Torah, and that explains why they want to know the Chukei Elokim. They want to know the laws of God, because the Torah was given already. And that would also explain, you know, Moshe's conversation with Yitro later on in Bamidbar, which is like, why don't you stay with us? As if Yitro was present the whole time, and now he's going home. So now he's only there. He was there all along. Not that he went home before Parshat, before the Matan Torah, that's implied by the Parsha in Shmot. Now, Rashi in general took up that position of Chazal. Rashi, the Shitato, throughout the Torah, finds when he has two discrepancy in stories, or two different stories about the same event, Rashi in general will try to reconcile between the stories. He'll try to create a uniform story out of the two. That's what Rashi does with Breishit Aleph, Breishit Bet, tries to create a single story out of two different, what seem to be disparate stories. Same thing here, Rashi out of the two stories of Yitro, tries to combine them, make them into a single story. And to say that maybe Yitro came beforehand, left, or he came, and then the story about Midbar is equivalent to the story in Yitro, and Yitro didn't really leave. Or this whole story about the judging the people doesn't take place before Matan Torah, but all after Matan Torah, and it's all part of that story in Bamidbar. That's the way Rashi learns the Parsha. Now, on the other hand, the problem of those that say that he came after Matan Torah, and this is what Tosos raises over here, that means that Tzipora and Moshe's kids were not at Har Sinai. They missed Matan Torah. If you think that the Parsha of Yitro happened after Matan Torah, that means that they were not present when the Torah was given. If they were not present when the Torah was given, that means that Moshe's wife and children were not there at Matan Torah. Okay, maybe that's not so bad. They could be Gerim afterwards. The bigger problem is, which is what the Gemara says in Beitza and other places, which is that Moshe says afterwards, when Tzipora speaks of Moshe, that hello, that Hashem spoke to all of us. Why is Moshe Paresh Min Aisha? Because Hashem says, Shuvah Lachem Lo Lachem, you should go back to your Olim, Vatapo Omodi Madi, and you stay with me. So Hashem tells him to be Paresh Min Aisha. Does Moshe be Paresh Min Aisha? His wife wasn't there. What does it mean he told him to be Paresh Min Aisha? His wife wasn't even there. She wasn't present. So how can we learn out all this halacha about that you can't be matir, or something that a Beis Din puts in place, you can't be matir without the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Rabbeinu stayed, and that's what his sister Miriam spoke about him when she spoke Lashon Hara. None of this took place before Matan Torah. This took place after Matan Torah. That means that it wasn't even relevant to the case of Shu'a Lechem Nolechem. None of that took place. So that's the problem for the one who says it happened after Matan Torah. On the other one, the one who says that it happens before Matan Torah, so he runs into the problem of Chukei Elukim. Problem, what are we talking about Chukei Elukim over here? Right? There are no Chukim yet. There was no Matan Torah. The other possibility, the other issue is that it says here that Yitro left in Shmot, and then we have the Parsha Bamidbar. What do you do with the Parsha Bamidbar? All of a sudden Yitro's there, and he's leaving again. When did he come back? The Torah never tells us he came back, that he left, and then he came back. Where did that happen? If it all happened before Matan Torah, where did Yitro, if Yitro left, right, before Matan Torah, what's he doing there in Bamidbar after Matan Torah, and why is he leaving again? So that's the problem for the one who says it happened afterwards. The person who has to deal with that the most is the Ramban. Ramban Torah says, Mukdam u'muchar b'Torah, the Torah is in order. Ramban can't move the Parsha to after Matan Torah. He has to have it before Matan Torah. So he says, similar to what Tzvi specified over here, is that they got this in Mara. In Mara, they were given certain chukim, certain mishpatim, and those mishpatim and chukim are what Moshe are dealing with. He's dealing with the pre-Matan Torah dinim. He's dealing with the civil code that Bnei Israel had. Again, it might be the Ramban Lashitato, I once spoke about this, but the Ramban, it might not even be that he has that from Marad. The Ramban believes that a nation cannot be a nation without a civil code. One of the prerequisites for being a nation or a singular nation is having a civil code or a social contract between the people to act in a certain way and to have behaviors between them. And without that, he sees that as a prerequisite to Matan Torah. Therefore, without those items, Bnei Israel wouldn't have been able to accept the Torah. So he believes that it had to have some sort of civil code between. There couldn't be a bunch of marauders or lawless people in the Midbar, that would not have been acceptable to having the Torah be given to people like that. So therefore, I had to have civil code in place. So the Ramban believes that the civil code's in place, and therefore that's how he does with the Chukei Elukim. And then he has to explain that Yitro does leave and then returns. Suppose the Rashi could just say he stayed the whole time, and later on, he leaves. And when it says he leaves here at the Parsha Yitro, it's the same thing as it, when he's sitting by Midbar. It's just giving you highlights of what's going to happen in the future. Ramban says he actually left, came back, and then he had to leave again, because Ramban believes, Mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. The best solution, or the in-between solution, is to say what Rashi does somewhat, is break the Parsha in half, and that's what Tosfos discusses. Which is at the beginning of the Parsha, it says that he came with Yitro, but Yitro brought his Tzipor, that was before Matan Torah. Vayimi Makarat, the whole thing of judging the people, that happened after Matan Torah, and that's connected to the Parsha of Bamidbar. So part of it was before, part of it's after. It's, even though, in the Machlokas and Tzvachim, they seem to be two opinions. One is before, one's afterwards. Right. Not that there's a division of the Parsha. Whereas Rashi and Tosfos over here seems to indicate you have to do some sort of bifurcation, you have to split the Parsha in order to have it that Tzipora was there, and was there at Matan Torah, and that we have that the Chukei Elukim are present, they got the Torah, and that happened afterwards and reconciled between Shmot and Bamidbar, to say this is just highlights of what's going to happen in Bamidbar, that Yitro leaves. That's been told to us in Shmot now, even though it won't happen till much later on. Right now, Rabbi says, Tashma, Vayomer Sha'ul Mameliki Eviyum Asher Chamala Amal Meitava Tzon Babakar. Shmuel says to Shaul, why do I hear the Kol Atzon? Mazeh Kol Atzon Rabakar. I told you have to wipe out Amalek to the end. What's the Kol Atzon Rabakar? He says, well, the Am was Chumel on the best ones. Why? Laman Zvoch L'Shem Lokecha, to bring them as Korbanot. So I said, my Meitav. So what does it mean, Meitav? Dmei Meitav. They're going to sell the fattest ones for the money, and they're going to use that money to purchase other animals. Not that these animals themselves would go on the Mizbeach, but they would purchase animals to put them in Mizbeach. Umayshna Meitav. Why would they pick the best ones? Keheche delikpot zalein zvina. So they would be easily sold. True, they could have sold any animal for the money and gotten that and used it for Mizbeach. But they take the fattest, best, they'll sell it quickly, and then they'll be able to bring it on the Mizbeach. Tashma, what are you going to do with David HaMelech? By David HaMelech it says, Vayomer Aravna El David. When he goes to purchase the property from Aravna Yibusi, Aravna says to David, Ikach, I take it. Vayal Adoni HaMelech, you should take it and use it. Right? Hatov Be'enav, you should do. Hatov Be'enav, Re'ei, whatever you see here, whatever you see, take. Habakar Le'oda, the bakar will be used for an olah, v'amorigim. And Gemara doesn't ask what morigim are, but there is the threshing tools that it will declare a bakar, and the implements that are used for the bakar, la'itim, will be firewood for the mizbeach, or for the korban. So Aravna Yibusi basically gives the David, not only is he selling the property, he gives him a korban. He gives him a bakar as a korban, and he gives him the wood to use for the mizbeach. So Amar Rav Nachman, a Ravna Gertoshav, Ravna was a Gertoshav. Okay, that's all right. That's enough. To be a Gertoshav is sufficient in order to have a music. He's not an Oved of a Zara, so we don't have the suspicion of Riviyah. And I don't know how we overcome, but this at least overcomes the problem of being sourcing from Israel, not Ovdei Chachamim. A Gertoshav, according to this, is good enough to be the source of such a karban. Where it says, my morigin, what are these morigin? Amarula, mita shel torbil. My mita shel torbil, what's this mita shel torbil? Iza de kurkasa de daishin. It is a board, a large board that has many sharp edges that come out of it, and they use that for the threshing of the grains. They let the animals drag it on top of the grains in order to do the threshing of the grains. So it's a large board that has like blades sticking out of it, or sharp edges that come out of it, and they drag it around on top of the grain in order to thresh it. So Rabbi Yosef Mikra, where's the puzzle that teaches that that's the case? So it says, Hine samtich lomorag charutz chadash. Bal pipiot tadusharim v'taduk ugvaot kamotz tasim. So he says, I will make you samtich the morag. I will make you into this threshing tool, or this threshing ayin charutz that is sharp, chadash, brand new, right? Bal pipiot with many blades tadusharim v'taduk. It will thresh mountains and pulverize taduk and pulverize them. Ugvaot, and the heights, kamotz, will made into shaft, tasim, will make them. So you see over here that the term, is used in the context, morag is used in the term context of threshing. Meitve. Veta parot, helu, ola, lashem. So here it says that they brought the parot, and they were maleh them, ola, lashem. Wait a minute. This is talking about, what's the case here? The case is our local brethren over here in Beit Shemesh. They pushed in, got tired of having the Aron around because it was causing them lots of trouble, all sorts of problems. So they send the Aron back in a wagon with the two cows or bulls that are pulling the wagon. And it reaches the Beit Shemesh. The Levim come in Beit Shemesh. They unload the Aron. They break up the Adalah, use it as wood, and they're makriv the bulls as carbon oak. These carbon oak came from the Plishtim, straight from the Plishtim. How could we source them from there? It says, Orat Shataita, it's an exceptional case. That makes sense. These were parot. These were female animals. They were female animals. How could you be bring back with them? And Allah is only a zachar, not an akeva. My kushya. We're talking about here, Abomad Yachid. We're not talking about in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was destroyed already in the time of Eli. And that's why the Plishtim have their own. Only there's no, if you have a Bamat Zibur, but you don't have a Bamat Yechid. Because it says, he takes a suckling tleh goat, here it's a nursing goat, echad, vayalehu ola, and he brings it as an ola. It says, vayalehu is a zachar mashma. That's a day nekeva. Doesn't say vayalehu, the kri is vayalehu, the ktiv is vayalah, that they brought up, which would be the female conjugation, vayalah, that they brought it up as a korban, so that indicates that you can see that an olah nekeva can be brought by a bamat yachid. So therefore over here also, maybe we'll say that the reason that they brought them as olot was because it was a bamat yachid, so that's not a proof that it was a hurat shah. So now, that's the end of this little piece of the sugya about explaining why it is that we can bring foreign or makri foreign or foreign sourced carbonate. So we had exceptions to the rule. We had all sorts of instances where it happened, and we have to explain them away in each time. Now the Gemara goes back to reconcile between the Mishnah and the Braita. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to leave your animal alone with them, and the Braita that says you can bring it as a karban. Rabbi Yochanan makes another suggestion. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Vol Yeshla. There's a boundary. Under 3 years, if it has bestiality performed, then it's nekeret. Therefore, it's chas on the behema. But once it's 3 years old, ain't a nekeret. Then it doesn't nekeret anymore, so therefore he doesn't wonder about it. So our Mishnah is talking about a case where the animal with the parah is older than 3 years old. Older than 3 years old, he'll perform bestiality with it, he won't worry, because it won't do any damage, it won't devalue as a behema. The brightness that says he can bring a karban is less than 3 years old, because over there he's afraid of losing the value of the animal, therefore he won't perform bestiality. It's Eitavei, Kohani Tiyufta. The Gemara asked all the questions that we've asked along the way. Shani Lo. In all those cases, the answer is Pchuta Mibad Gimel Shanim. All those cases are cases where it's less than 3 years. It's less than 3 years old. There we don't worry about sourcing a korban from a non-Jew. All these psukim, all these cases that we brought here, the reason that we could bring them is because they were less than 3 years old. Right. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, that there's a threshold, there's a limit to that. Only up to 3 years old does it damage the animal, therefore they won't do it to its own animal. Above 3 years old, it doesn't damage the animal, so he has there's nothing that's going to be a deterrent for him from doing it. He won't lose any value by having bestiality with it. So when I ask all about all these cases you just quoted, when I said all those cases are animals that were brought under 3 years old, so there is no chashash under 3 years old. It's not a problem. So now Gemara goes back to our case in Beit Shemesh. It says, "Ve'parot elu olal Hashem b'pchutam mipat shalosh shanim." You're going to say that they were less than 3 years old. Those animals that came, matkalo ravu braid ravanat anim kein hainu. What about what happened over there? It says, "Ve'pneihem kalu b'bayit." The Plishtim wanted to test whether this was really what Hashem wanted. They put the aron on the wagon. They hook up two parot, two cows, two females, and they take their children in front of them and lock them up in the city, in the Plishtim, and they lock them up there, and then they send off the cows. So what would be the natural reaction of the teva of a cow? That they go after their children. They'd follow the babies. And they don't do that. Instead, what do? They walk straight to Beit Shemesh. So then the Plishtim know that for sure this is what needs to be done, and it goes. Can they give birth? Who says that a cow under 3 years old can give birth? So now you have a problem. Rabbi Yochanan's saying the case is under 3 years old, but cows under 3 years old don't give birth. Para b'chamor mibad gimel b'dai l'kohen. That a para and a chamor, this is a para and a chamor that are giving birth to children now. You don't know if the animal that's born is a b'chor or not. So the Gemara tells us an answer. There's a Mishnah in B'chorot that a para chamor above 3 years old, then a b'dai, our 3 years old is b'dai l'kohen, because we assume they never gave birth before. They don't give birth before 3 years old. So therefore, if the animal's born when they're right as they're 3 years old, we know it's the first one. It's a b'chor. Mikam Eilech, they're older than 3 year old, safek. Then it's a safek, because maybe they gave birth before it was bought by this Jew. Maybe they didn't give birth. We don't know. Ela mechavarta kedeshaninan mi'ikaro. It makes more sense to say that, like we said above. So now what does that mean, kidimishani mi'ikara? I would have read kidimishani mi'ikara means forget about Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is not a good solution to the problem, the steer between the Mishnah and the Braita. We had the solution of Rabbi Padat. We had the other solution in the Gemara earlier on, that is chasam mimono, that it belongs to the goys versus your animal. Use those answers. That's the way I would explain the kidimishani mi'ikara. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Chanano reads, ela mechavarta kidimishani mi'ikara horat shata haita. That Hashanah Mi'akara is not that we're rejecting Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. We're just saying by the case in Beit Shemesh, the explanation is not Pchuta Mi'gimel Shanim, but rather Horat Sha'ah. So Rabbi Yochanan will also subscribe to that explanation of Horat Sha'ah. So that'll be the answer for Rabbi Yochanan. Point out that Tosfos says, the whole Gemara is premise, or the reason that we rejected Rabbi Yochanan before is because that cows don't give birth under 3 years old. So it says, we see every day cows giving birth less than 3 years old. So what are you talking about? So Tosfos gives an answer that Tosfos uses in other places. It's a very difficult and dangerous answer. He says, Nishtanu atvayim. The Teva changed. The Teva of the world has changed. So in their day, they didn't give birth less than 3 years old. Today, the cows do give birth less than 3 years old. So now the Gemara says, while we're on these parot, while we're on these cows from Beit Shemesh, let's do a little gadata on the cows from Beit Shemesh. It says, Vayasharna parot b'derech al derech Beit Shemesh. They went straight, right? They set out in a straight way from the Plishtim directly towards Beit Shemesh, and they don't go right or left, they do nothing. Vayasharna, they went straight. So it says, my Vayasharna, what does it mean? Not that the Gemara is going to dash, not that they went straight, but rather, Amiokhara Mishim Rameru Shamru Shira, that they sang Shira, the Parim here sang Shira. Ve'Rav Zutra Bar Tuvya, and the Bach over here, as there was alternative Girsaot that said, V'chein Omar, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvya, Amarash, Yashu Pneem, Keneged Aron, they turned their heads towards the Aron, Amru Shira, and they sang Shira. So, my Shira Amru, well, if they're going to be singing, let's find out what song they sang. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Moshe Meimer, Az Yashir Moshe Vnei Yisrael. They sang Az Yashir. Why would they sing Az Yashir? Because Az Yashir has it, Kigo'o Ga'ah. That it's Giyogah, that Hashem overcomes over his enemies, he punishes his enemies. What happens? We know that the Plishtim got Tachorim. They got hemorrhoids when they had the Aron with them. Hashem was fighting against them because they had their own Elukim over there. And therefore, they're singing Shira, Giyogah. Hashem is the strong one. He comes down hard on his enemies and he fights the battles of the Jews. Rabbi Yochanan himself says, V'amartim b'yomahu, odol Hashem kiru b'shmo. That day you'll give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll call out in his name and thank him for what he did. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish Amar, Mizmor Yatoma. And he says the Mizmor Yatom. Rashi claims it's a Mizmor Yatom because it's a Mizmor that doesn't give the author. It doesn't say who the author of the Mizmor is. Tosus takes an issue with that. He says we have tons of Mizmorim and Tehillim that don't have an author with them. But rather he says the Karalo Yatoma Mishum Shlouzkar Man Ne'amar. It's called the Mizmor Yatom because it doesn't describe in it on what it was said. It says a generic parak Tehillim, but doesn't tell us what's singing about. So it says Mizmor Shir LaShem Shir Chadash, sing a new song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifla'ot Asah, right? Because he did wonders. Oshialo Yemino Uzra Kocho, and that his arm, he goes out to save us with his arm and his holy outstretched arm and his Yemino with his right hand. So that's it. They sang the Shir Chadash. They sang this new song because the Kodesh Baruch Hu saved the Aron and brought it back to Beit Shemesh. But Lazar Amar, Hashem Malach, Yirgazu Amim. Hashem rules, right? Yirgazu Amim. He will take retribution and will come down hard on the other nations. Shmuel Nachmani Amar, Hashem Malach, Ke'ud Lavesh. This is, we say, the Shir Shal Yom on Friday. It's also appropriate for Rosh Hashanah that Hashem Malach, Ke'ud Lavesh. Hashem was enveloped in Gava, Hashem rules, subjugates all under him. He rules over everyone. And over here too, he puts the Plishtim to shame about them keeping the Aron. Yitzhak Nachlamar, they made up a song here. It's a new song. Roni, Roni, Hashita. So now Roni, Roni means sing, sing, Hashita. Hashita comes from the Atzei Shittim, which is the Aron, which is made out of Atzei Shittim. So it's Roni, Roni, Hashita. Hit no for fee. Right, you should hit Rome with me. Be elevated. Berov haderech hamechusheket. Right, that the along the way hamechusheket, which is Rashi says a kshura, they're tied berikmei zahav. It's tied around with gold. Hamehula bedvir amon umufra ba'deyadayin. So that is covered. That this is a berov haderech hamechusheket berikmei. That what is that mechusheket? That they are tied up with gold, because the Aron of Atzei Shittim is surrounded by gold. So there's gold all around it. Because of Amulab Dvir, the one that is praised at the Dvir Amon. What's the Dvir Amon? Shesefer Torah, Shemoshe, is inside the Aron. Umulab Mufuar Bezev Shetocho. It's Mulab, that which is found inside of it, Dvir Amon, in the depths of it. Umufuar Badei Adayim. And then it takes razor, it's given loyalty and greatness, Badei Adayim, from the Edut, that is found inside of it. So that's what's the Edut that's found inside of it, is the Luchot, or the Torah that is found inside of it. Ramashi might know the Had Rabbi Yitzchak Aha. Ramashi used to say over Rabbi Yitzchak, here we're saying that Rabbi Yitzchak Nafu was said about the Aron, the Shira that was said by the cows on the return from Beit Shemesh. But he says, no, it was said about this. Even so Aron by Yom Moshe, when the Aron used to travel, when the Jews in the Midbar, by Yom Moshe, Kum Hashem, Moshe said, Kum Hashem. Israel, my Amru. What did the rest of Israel say when the Aron went? Amru Yitzchak, Roni, Roni, Ashita. This song that they said over here. Amarav, Keman Karu, Parsai, the Safra, Dvir. According to whom do the Parsaim in Persia, do they call the Sefer Torah a Dvir? Meyocha, from the Pasuk in Shoftim, talking about with Kalev ben Yefune, who says, whoever conquers Hebron, I'll give my daughter to him. And that is, Anil ben Kenaz goes and does it. And over there it says that he conquers a place called Kiryat Sefer. It says about it, Vashem Dvir, Lefanim, Kiryat Sefer. The place before it was called Dvir, was called Kiryat Sefer. You see the word Dvir and Sefer are interchangeable. And now the Gemara continues, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi Amar, Kaman Karu Pasad Nidad Distano. According to whom do the Persians call a woman who's a Nidad Distano? She says, Miocha, from this, Pasuki, Derech Nashim Li, when it's describing when Rachel says she can't get up from the camel when her father comes around, she says, Ki Derech Nashim Li. So Rashi says, Dustan is no Trikun, is a conjugation of an abbreviation for Derech Nashim Yeshli. That it's the Derech Nashim I have, that's what Distana stands for. Alright, so we'll stop over here.